banners up. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money they don't get. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain. They burn the kids, no one lives con. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die. Cause God forgive. And buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slide. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn. The kids, no one makes con. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite online network. Anyways, things just keep getting weirder. We have in Ontario here, the leader of the Conservative Party resigned because somebody, a couple of ladies, accused him of sexual misconduct or whatever. And it's just getting so totally stupid. I actually phoned the federal government today. And before you get to talk to anybody, their new policy is that if you speak in an aggravated tone, or the person you're talking to feels offended or upset, or should you use a cuss word, then all communication will be cut off. This is worse. You know, this reminds me, this really truly reminds me of when I was a kid. There was always one kid, there was always one whiny kid who, I'm going to tell my mommy, I'm going to tell my daddy. Fill your boots, stupid. Right? So now we're at a point in time, and the other kids wouldn't put up with these whiny kids. That was a thing back then. Even as little kids, we got it. You know, suck it up or get lost. But now it seems that all of the whiny kids somehow have got control of our countries. It's absolutely amazing how these little whiners manage to get control of our countries. And it just, that's all I hear when I hear these people, you know, I'm going to tell my mommy, I'm going to tell my daddy. And this is your government now. It's really gone really south fast and big time. We have three contenders for the Conservative leader in Ontario. We have an election coming up in June. So the leader, who is just another UN bum boy, as they all are, including Trump, south of the border. A lot of people won't like to hear that, but sorry. The boy's a player. Although I got to give him credit for saying one thing, and the one thing he said, which I was hopeful that every American would latch on to, is time to make America great again. But that's up to the people. Okay? It was kind of a toss-out. You know, it's time to make America great again. Yeah, America, time to stand up. Okay, there's no such animal as a hero. And nobody gets into that top position unless there's a bit of smoke and mirrors going on, which is exactly what's going on. So anyways, we have Doug Ford, and we have Christine Elliott, and we have Carolyn Mulrooney. Now, Carolyn Mulrooney is the daughter of Brian Mulrooney, who was the Prime Minister of Canada, who was singing Irish Eyes Are Smiling with Ronald Reagan. And it was Brian Mulrooney, conservative, and Bush, conservative, or Republican, same thing, who signed our nations onto Agenda 21. And everybody's bitching about the left. It was the right that signed us onto Agenda 21, UN Agenda 21, which is absolutely destroying our countries and absolutely taking away all your rights. So this bitching and bellyaching about the left, they're all left. They're all so far left, you know, they have little Marxist dolls that they play with in their bathtubs, I suppose. I don't know. But anyways, we have a choice of two women. And according to the Club of Rome, man is the enemy. And we see that. We're desperate to put women into high-level roles and gay people and so on and so forth. So we have two women running, Christine Elliott has some political experience, Doug Ford was a one-term counselor for the city of Toronto, I think, and Carolyn Mulrooney has no experience, although she's been to Harvard and some other big schools out of the country, and her daddy's a traitor to the country, and so she, you know, is into philanthropy and that, which is a bad idea because that's funding NGOs and whatnot. So we have the man, Doug Ford, is being promoted as a Donald Trump North. Bad idea, because the mood here is due left. And you can't pick up a paper in Canada, I don't think. It would be a very rare occurrence. Every day that I look at these online main newspapers from Canada, there's always somebody swatting at Trump, right? And at the same token, when Obama was in power, they were kissing his ass pretty much every day in the paper. So Doug Ford is going to be put forward as a evil Trump-style guy. Probably somewhat of a nationalist, and nationalism is white supremacy, and all white supremacists should be hung, according to the media and the universities. So, you know, I would imagine who's going to get in here as the leader, probably Christine Elliott, which is another woman leader. Now, we already have the Liberals are in power in Ontario, and I don't know how Christine's going to stand up against Kathleen Wynne, because Kathleen Wynne is a lesbian and loves the Pride parades and marches in them with the Prime Minister, who refers to himself as a feminist. I mean, this is so far gone. You know, I don't know if you can even make up a comedy or a movie. That would be about the only purpose for all of what's going on here. So we got all this mudslinging going on, every day now, somebody else has fallen by the wayside because 22 years ago, someone looked at someone crooked, or someone thought someone made a sexual advance towards them, or whatever. And the players are falling like it's going out of style, but it's always directed at the men. Never directed at the women, right? So guys are dropping like flies up here in Canada as the women rise to the top. It kind of reminds me of an old B movie. It was an old black and white B movie from the 50s, late 50s, early 60s, somewhere in there, when I was a kid. And it was these astronauts flew and landed on Venus or something, where the men were subservient, and basically they were the slaves, and the women were the ones that ran the show on Venus. And this is exactly what they're trying to accomplish again. And this is all through the Gaia process, you know, Mother Earth nonsense. Even though if you study Gaia, she was apparently a hoe. But I probably can't say that. Anyways, one guy that I'm going to talk about tonight is Steve Pagan. Now, he runs a show, which is, again, it's like this CBC, which is funded by the people of the country, and like the CBC and the, what's the one, BBC over in England, and then they have another one, something in Australia, all the same thing, all the same. It's just a propaganda machine, and you pay for it. And that's the news you get. But now they've all become propaganda machines, so you can't get anything but propaganda 24/7. Steve Pagan, who I had a chat with several years back on Twitter. I don't... I don't particularly watch anything anymore, do a lot of reading. But this was back when we were fighting windmills and that, and Steve Pagan would have guests on the show. And it's always rigged, and he's always pushing the lie, okay? Everything they push on these shows is a lie. They're pushing the UN agendas. Now, I'm just looking for this story. I lost it here. Let me see if I can dig this thing out. I had it. Anyways, I had a conversation with Pagan several years ago. Now, I never used to pay too much attention to who was and who wasn't what, but it turns out that Pagan is a Jew. Go figure. Now, the accusation is that Steve Pagan calls Sarah Thompson's sexual harassment allegations 100% false. Now, there was a story out that she was at a meeting. Now, she was a politician, too, I believe. And so the story is that 5 minutes into a lunch meeting or whatever, he looks across the table and asks Thompson if she would sleep with him, which her assistant almost spit his drink across the table. Now, I don't know how long ago this allegation supposedly took place. It'll be a while back. They always are. But what I like about this story is that TVO's the agenda host Steve Pagan responded to allegations of sexual harassment mounted by former mayoral candidate Sarah Thompson on Tuesday, calling them 100% false. Pagan's statements comes on the heels of TVO announcing it would not be removing him from the role amidst an investigation. To my delight, TVO has left me in the anchor chair of the agenda. I appreciate that vote of confidence. They also said he did the right thing by calling in an independent third party to investigate. In a February 2nd post on Thompson's website, Women's Post, she wrote that a political talk show host asked her if I would sleep with him after attending lunch at Grano, a restaurant near Yonge Street in Eglinton. Thompson wrote that she replied she would never do that and then excused herself to call her campaign manager. The post goes on to say that the host has continued to approach her on several different occasions at political functions with the same proposition. In a statement released by TVO, the chief executive officer, The Wild, on Monday, the broadcaster said it would be launching an investigation into the comments. Now, this is, here it is. So Steve Pagan puts up, I guess, this is, says 2 hours ago, my turn. Okay, now it's my turn. Now he puts out a statement. This is my response written by me to a committee, written by me, not a committee of lawyers or spin doctors at 4 o'clock this morning. Yes, I've had a bit of trouble sleeping since this all came to light. And this is my statement, not my employer's. This past Saturday afternoon, I received an email from Sarah Thompson. I have known Ms. Thompson for almost a decade, having covered her municipal provincial political campaigns and seen her at various political events over the years, although I don't believe I've seen or had any contact with her in several years. To say I am gobsmacked by the allegations in her email is the understatement of my life. Even though I knew the allegations were 100% false, I did what I was supposed to. I did what I suspect was the appropriate thing to do and immediately passed the email on to my supervisors at TVO. That's Television Ontario. Again, paid by the people of Ontario. I knew the charges were bogus, but I knew I owed it to my employer to be totally transparent about it. The next day, Sunday, I spent 2 hours with the TVO management and its lawyers, answering every imaginable question, and I was happy to do it. I wanted to convince them that there's not a shred of truth to any of this. I also appreciate the times in which we live, and given the seriousness of the allegations, understood the TVO might have to take action to protect its reputation. To my delight, TVO has left me in the anchor chair of the agenda. I appreciate the vote of confidence. They also did the right thing by calling in an independent third party to investigate this mess, and I welcome that investigation. Bring it on, says Steve. I have no doubt that a thorough and fair analysis of the allegations and the parties involved will point to the truth. I look forward to all parties having their say. I find so much about this story completely perplexing. I have interviewed probably 20,000 people over my course of my 35 years in journalism. I moderated 6 leader debates for federal and provincial elections, presumably a sign that during key moments in our country's history, the people seeking the high office in our land think I'm impartial and respectable. The Me Too movement is too important to be undermined by spurious allegations. The only good thing about that has been receiving the huge number of emails and phone calls from people who believe me and are prepared to say so publicly. I spent 35 years building my reputation. In one fell swoop, these lies have promoted outrageous headlines and connecting me to a story to which I have no business being connected. Well, all that ends today. Today, I begin to reclaim my reputation and fight back against these scurrious allegations. I mean, no harm to Sarah Thompson, but Sarah, you and I both know the incident you described never happened. It's complete fiction. To be clear, I did not have sex, suggest, request, imply, or joke about having sex with you. Sadly, in this day and age, too many people are going to believe the lie, especially when it comes to this subject. I am mortified that in many people's eyes, I have lost the presumption of innocence that I previously enjoyed, but I did not do these things. There is simply no truth to these allegations. You've defamed me, Sarah. I have no idea why, but you have, and I simply can't allow that to stand. The quest to reclaim my reputation, which you've tried to destroy, begins now. I look forward to vindication. That sounds like Talmudic law, because the legal system is one it's adversarial. Is the legal system by definition is adversarial, and if you look up adversary in the dictionary, if you just Google adversary, you'll run into Satan pretty quick, the adversary. Now, what I like about this particular thing, and I may just get a hold of Sarah Thompson. In fact, I'm thinking seriously about getting a hold of Sarah Thompson, because everything that is on the TVO, The Agenda, and it's a perfect name for the show, The Agenda. Now, they could have, put the full title in, TVO, pushing the United Nations globalist agendas would have been a proper name for the show, because that's what they do. It's what they always do. It's a three-ring circus of Jews pushing the United Nations agendas down our throat. Well, not pushing down our throat. You know, the Jews are known for being tricksters. Let no man deceive you. And so they schmooze on the TVs and in the media. They suggest shit to you so that they can hypnotize you. But I find this really amazing, because he's talking about his reputation and that. Well, and he's talking about calling her a liar. Now, maybe she did. I don't know if she's lying or not. I'm going to try and get a hold of her and find out, but it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that everything on his show that's presented on his show is a lie. That's what kills me. You know, everybody that's on that show, well, they'll every now and again, if they're going to have a discussion, they'll bring one in and two or three on the lie side and one trying to tell the truth. And the lie always overpowers the truth. It's kind of like a tag team game they play there. Now, Steve Paikin has the Order of Ontario, the Order of Canada, I believe. And he has moderated 6 provincial, federal debates. Why? Because he ain't going to call these politicians out. They know it. He knows it. It's like the family compact, for crying out loud. So I had a fairly long Twitter conversation. I've been on Twitter in years. I find it kind of stupid. But this was back when I was trying to get Elizabeth May and David Suzuki on the show so we could have a debate. But they both backed out, because they both know that I can wipe the floor with them in minutes. So Steve Paikin, I thought, well, you know his show. I know what he's up to. So maybe I can get on his show. My thought process was to get on his show on television. And so we had a fairly lengthy discussion on Twitter. I don't know if I can access that or not still. If I could, it would be brilliant. Because he's talking about the truth through here, that he's truthful and honest and all this kind of nonsense. But then he's in the media, so we know he sold his soul. So we know that he's amoral, so it doesn't matter what he says, because he doesn't have any moral capacity. So he doesn't show remorse. That's what amoral people are about. They have no remorse. And so they can lie and do whatever they want, and it just doesn't bother them. But in that discussion that he and I had, at the end of it, I loved it. I mean, I really loved it, because we discussed some of the topics that they had discussed on the show and guests and whatnot. And in the end, I wrote him and I tweeted him, I guess, is that what you call it? And I said, you know, Steve, it seems to me that you seem to be partial to the untruth, not the truth. And he actually wrote me back with a yes, I am partial to the untruth. So how truthful is this guy? Well, the whole show is a charade to get people to accept all of these globalist agendas. That's why I say it should have been called the UN Globalist Agendas with host Steve Pagan. It's a really sad situation, because most people don't research anything. That's what I find the saddest part. People don't question anything. And I'm sure there's discussions going on. Well, Steve would never do that, right? And in the media, because TVO and CBC, the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, are tied pretty close together. And we got to cover this, right? We got to do something here. Now, one of the reasons, if you look at why Patrick Brown, who was the leader of the conservatives, got sideswiped a few months before the election, is to try to get a woman as the head of the conservative party. So they just throw him under the bus with these allegations, and then he has to resign. For the good of the party was the answer to the, you know, why don't you just stay as the leader and fight this? Well, no, for the good of the party, right? So he's not happy, but he got thrown under the bus, and he ain't going to do nothing about it. So now we have two women running for the leadership of the conservatives, and one guy. The guy running is got a Trump label on him. The other one is the daughter of a prime minister, ex-prime minister. And the other one actually has some political experience. So we can pretty much gather who's going to be leading the conservative party. So now we have a straight white woman up against a older, wrinkly, nasty, hijab-wearing, white, lesbian woman. So this is going to be the battle line, which is quite funny, actually, because what people don't understand is you didn't pick the leaders of these parties. It's not about you, folks. It's about the party. Okay, you don't pick any of these people. The party picks them, and then you vote for the party, and then the party gets in, and the party continues to implement the UN globalist agendas down your throat, I mean, somehow, some way, these people have got to wake up to some realities around here. Anyways, I am gonna make a shot getting a hold of Sarah Thompson here, and because I don't like Steve Paikin, because I don't like liars, I don't like deceivers, and Stevie Boy is most definitely a deceiver and a manipulator. And the deal is that the people are the ones who are going to get hurt. And they're being hurt already, big time, by people like Steve Paikin. Now, and I got another problem here. I am so locked down. I mean, I am completely locked down on Facebook. I mean, it's gone beyond ridiculous. I'm going to have to... I don't really want to bail on this thing, but it doesn't seem to be much use anymore. Most of the posts I see in the political realm on Facebook is just people disliking other people. You know, up here in Canada, there's a gazillion sites of basically the Prime Minister sucks and I hate Trudeau and so on and so forth. Hordes of these things. But there's no information. It's just stupidville. So I tried to put up some documents in that and tried to get in behind Puppetville to bring people some useful information. And I found it was, you know, I could run 20,000 plus views in 8 hours or so, or in a day, and get this stuff moved around. I used to get thrown in Facebook jail once in a while, but now they throw you in for 7 days. So there's 31 days in a month. So that's about how many times I'm out of jail. I get out of jail. Sometimes I'm out of jail for an hour and then stuff back in it, sometimes a day. But over the course of a month, if I'm out of jail for 4 days, I'm doing pretty good. Now, it appears that what they've done is they've blocked me from commenting. They blocked me from moving the information to other groups that I'm hooked up to. And sometimes it comes up as a security problem. Sometimes it comes up as we think it's spam. Well, I didn't ask you to think about it. I wasn't sending it to you. I was sending it to a group of basically like-minded people. So get out from in between us. So I put some posts up, and this has been up for a whole day or longer, and I have 258 views on it. And it's actually a very important thing. And another one I have that I put on day before, I got 340. But what really bothers me is when I go back, this is on Rock the Boat Facebook, but when I go back to my personal site, which I moved this stuff across to as well, and I have almost 5,000, whatever you call it, likes or whatever it is. So, you know, this stuff's supposed to get moved out. So how can I have 5,000 or thereabouts people who like the page and have absolutely nobody apparently seeing what I've been posting lately? How's that happen? Now, I understand that they can do some blocking and whatnot, but I find this very, very irritating. Extremely irritating. Now, I put a post up to try to explain a little bit about politics. And it doesn't seem to have went anywhere. because I'm in jail and they're blocking, which means that I'm doing good work, really, because if it wasn't, I wouldn't be in jail. The UN is what I wrote here. The UN is effectively the government of Canada at this time. Now, this must change, and it must change now. Now, a lot of people, I know not very many people have seen this post, but I do write the truth. That's all I'm interested in. But when you look at it, the UN is effectively the government of Canada at this time, which is absolutely correct. We did have the Prime Minister, Tinkerbell Trudeau, state 6 days after he's elected that Canada is the first post-national state. And the whole idea behind the globalist movement out of the UN and those who created it is the end of nation states, because you can't have a world government with nation states and the idea of nationalism. And that's why they crushed Germany so bad at the Second World War. They wanted the idea of nationalism done away with, because they want their international world. They want their world that they control. And the idea of nationalism, that's why every time somebody says, you know, I'm a nationalist, everybody starts yelling at you, calling you a Nazi and a white supremacist and all this kind of stuff, because they have to put the idea of nationalism down, because they can't have their global government, they can't have their internationalism if there's standing nations. Anyways, you know, we're coming up to an election here now, and the Conservatives already put their platform forward before their leader got thrown under the bus. And when I went and looked at it yesterday, and it's the same as the Liberals. The only difference is they have a few little different tax breaks and that, or they're going to throw a little bit of money more towards child care than the other party or whatever. But the fact is, you know, where are you getting the money from, you know? So they're trying to entice the children, the adults who still live mentally like children, trying to entice them with little candies, you know, tax break here or there or whatever, even though the province of Ontario is gotta be getting closer to $20 billion in the hole for 15 million people. We're screwed. As far as that, until we break the rule, until we cut the ties with the United Nations. And what's so important about cutting the ties with the United Nations? Well, the United Nations, they run your school curriculums out of UNESCO. They run your health out of WHO. They run your food and agriculture through the food and the FAO. They run your finances through the World Bank and the IMF. And all of these loans and all of this debt is completely 100%, like everything else, phony. So once you cut the ties with the UN, you can kiss the debt goodbye. Simple as that. You ain't got no obligation. This is why it's so important that we cut the ties with the United Nations. Anyways, this is right in here. The Ontario Liberals brought in the living wage. That was, it's everywhere, right? The living wage. Now, the Conservatives and the NDP, which is the New Democratic Party, which is basically Socialist International, they're both going to keep it. Now, they were all bitching and complaining about it. And, you know, they just want to be king of the castle for a while. So they were bitching and complaining about this living wage was being introduced into Ontario, that it was coming too fast, too hard. It was going to be very detrimental to small businesses and that, like these parties give a damn. Because part of the living wage was the idea of crushing the last of these small family-owned businesses. Because they want you buying only things online and from big box stores. They don't want any independent anything. So they bitched and complained about it, but now we're getting into an election, and now that the living wage has been put in place, the living wage was calculated to be $15 an hour, so the conservatives or the liberals raised the minimum wage to $14 an hour one lift, where the other party said they would bring it in more gradually. But it's the same end result. It's the living wage. So this is how this operates. So the conservatives and NDP are not going to roll back the living wage, even though they were complaining about how fast it came in. So the liberals, the conservatives, and the NDP are on side with sustainable development, renewable energy, carbon tax, climate change, LGBTQ, migrants, Islam, etc. All three parties. Now, why do the parties seem so much alike? Because they are. They're all pushing the UN globalist agendas without telling you. And that should really piss you off. Now, where did the living wage come from? This is the kicker. You know, people never go and say, well, everybody's pushing this, where'd it come from? Well, no, it's good for us because the media told us, and therefore it's a good thing. And the idea was they'd like to keep the liberals in power because the way they have it set up now, they can really roll with this. So they really don't want, it's still going to roll forward, but it might be a little more complicated than it would be because the whatever other, if a different party got into power, they'd have to make some readjustments in that to get back on track. And if they keep the liberals in power, the train is just rolling now. So they brought in the living wage to show that the liberals care and so on and so forth. So where did the idea of the living wage come from in the first place? Same place the rest of the crap that's destroying Ontario and the nation and all the other countries on the planet, the UN and its globalist partners. Now, it is time to cut all ties with the UN and throw all supporters of it off our land. They are a deadly virus afflicting our nations. So in here we have the minimum wage thing, and this is important, and I think this is why I get flagged so much on Facebook, because they don't want people reading this crap, right? So we started number 3 on it, and it says, this is neither an abstract nor a pie-in-the-sky recommendation. The government of Ontario, and that's every other government, provincial, state, and the state side, because you're all hooked into the UN. You're all hooked into the sustainable movement. The government of Ontario has a legal obligation to uphold international human rights laws. And, as I will discuss, a number of human rights bodies within the United Nations systems have provided governments in Canada with concrete recommendations as to what must be done with respect to minimum wage in order for Canada to comply with international human rights law. So now we have the Liberals pushing forward this livable wage or living wage, and the media at no point brings forward the fact that this is not something the Liberals cooked up, just like the carbon tax isn't something the Liberals cooked up, just like the LGBTQ movement is not something that was kicked up here, or any of these other things. The vaccines were not kicked up here. That came out of the WHO, which is UN. So it is, like I said at the beginning of this, essentially, the government of Canada is run by the United Nations, which plays perfectly into the idea that Canada is the first post-national state. Now, there's been more damned agreements signed by the states of the United Nations, okay? And Canada, like all the other countries that have signed on to the United Nations, are referred to as a state of the United Nations, which puts the United Nations above the sovereign countries. Now, the international lawyers, the tricksters, the deceivers, have been busy in the back rooms writing up all this international law for many, many decades. But the people don't know about it. They're never told about it. And all of these agreements and treaties and whatnot being signed by our so-called leaders, obligating us to what the international lawyers wrote, is just treason at the of the highest order. So it goes on, number four here says, let's back up. From where do Ontario's international human rights obligations derive? Canada has ratified a number of international treaties like the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, which commit Canadian governments to guarantee, and it doesn't matter what country you're in, just what I'm reading here, just plug the name of your country in there, and you've got the same ballgame. Which commit Canadian governments to guarantee the enjoyment of economic, social, and cultural rights by everyone. According to the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties, alongside the federal government, government provinces are equally committed to international treaties, okay, especially in areas that fall within provincial constitutional jurisdiction, such as the setting of minimum wage standards. And recently, we have seen the federal government abdicate any responsibility for human rights matters that they deem to be within provincial jurisdiction. In other words, if people in Canada are to enjoy their human rights, provincial governments must step up to the plate and play their role. What does the international human rights law say about minimum wage? In a consultation with the provinces, Canada ratified the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights in 1976. Now, this is what they do, okay, is they get these agreements signed many, many, many decades. These are long-term planners, man. Many decades before they ever implement them. Now, 1976... is also the same year that the UN Habitat Convention or the UN Convention on Human Settlements took place in Vancouver, where they say that private property, private vehicles, golf courses, air conditioning, and yada, 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 are not sustainable. That was way back in 76 as well. Now, they're doing everything in their power to get you out of your private vehicle. That's what the light rail transit system is about. They're locking you down, okay? They are locking you down. Anyways, the Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights provides everyone with the right to just and favorable conditions of work, which includes ensuring that all workers are remunerated so that they can provide a decent living for themselves and their families. That's Article 7. Decent living has been interpreted and understood in the international human rights law to mean that workers have the right to a living wage. In this context, Canada has been repeatedly told by UN human rights system that in order to meet its international human rights obligations, it must raise the minimum wage to a living wage. For example, in 1998, when Canada was reviewed by the Committee on Economic and Social and Cultural Rights, responsibility for monitoring Canada's compliance, the committee stated in its concluding observations that it was concerned that the minimum wage was not sufficient to provide an adequate standard of living for a worker and his or her family. Now, this may sound good to people who are working for lower wages, but it's not, because this is all about human rights, which are... You're not a human, okay? You're a resource, okay? A human, look at a human as a resource, an animal, just like a chunk of coal or a tree. A human is not a man, Okay, a human is by definition an animal, which you're using for a resource. But the thing is that we, if we were running our own country, which we never have, but we're going to have to, there would be no need for a minimum wage in this country, because this is by far the richest nation on the planet when you put the resources up against the population. There is no richer place in the world. And yet we have increasing poverty. Now, the point of the increasing poverty is not by accident, is absolutely on purpose. In order to bring the living wage in, the next stage of this living wage is the guaranteed income. Okay? And that's being set up for the benefit of the corporations. Okay? So you would be given an what they will consider adequate. And this is the kicker, okay? This word adequate. Who decides what is adequate? Well, the United Nations. They've already decided we're using a full planet and a half worth of resources, and therefore we're using a half a planet too many resources each year, and therefore we must scale everything way back. And who's going to be in charge of deciding what you get? Well, they are. Okay? So you're going to find your lifestyle going in the toilet rapidly, while at the same time they're promoting themselves as the good entity. But like every coin, it has two sides, right? Like most words, there's two meanings. There's a negative meaning and a positive meaning to the word. And these guys know how to play this game extraordinarily well. But the thing that really bothers me the most is none of this stuff, none of it, ever gets to the public. And that's what really bothers me. So we get dragged before the bodies of the UN like a naughty student would to the principal's office. Okay, so Canada gets dragged before the United Nations, or where they're given a tongue lashing about their obligations and they're not fulfilling their obligations. In 2009, oh, let's see here. The committee stated in its concluding observation that it was concerned that the minimum wage was not sufficient to provide an adequate standard of living for a worker and his family. They reiterated the same concern in 2006, noting that the government had not sufficiently responded to the 1998 concern. In 2009, after his mission to Canada, the special rapporteur on the right to housing recommended that the provinces and territories review their minimum wage rates in light of the homelessness problem in Canada. And more recently, the special rapporteur on right to food told governments in Canada in its final report that the minimum wage must be at least a living wage in keeping with Article 6 and 7, recommending that governments specifically set the minimum wage as a living wage as required under the International Covenant of Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, and consistent with the ILO conventions number 99, which was signed in 1951, and number 131 in 1970, particularly as regards the requirement that the minimum wage should be fixed, taking into consideration inter alia the needs of workers and their families, taking into account that the general level of wages in the country, the cost of living, social security benefits, and the relative living standards of other social groups. The UN human rights system views a living wage to be one of a number of essential measures required to ensure an adequate standard of living for everyone. Now, that's the one word in this human rights doctrine, which is all over the place, that you really got to pay attention to. Everyone has a right to adequate this, that, that, and the other thing. But then the question is, who decides what is adequate? Okay? And the whole idea of the post-national state is the UN and their thieving globalist partners take control of your political system or whatever. I don't even like the word, but more importantly, all of the resources in your country. So these resources that we view as ours, which they really aren't, they need to be, are going to be handed over to the internationalists, then they will decide adequate. Now, there are papers out there that want you to reduce your electrical and water use here in Canada because they call us energy hogs and water hogs. Want us to reduce our usage of energy and water by 75%. Now, you just imagine that. But that's the game. And that game's got to get outed. And we got to get control of our nations, which means we got to hold their feet to the fire, which we do a pretty poor job of. Anyways, I put the link in there to the Facebook. If you're on Facebook, fine. And I guess I'll pull this link here. This is the link to the actual article referring to the UN obligations. So if you're not on Facebook, which I don't really blame you, not if you're trying to get any actual information out there, put that in, click on that, and well, that didn't bring in there. That didn't do that. What the hell is that about? Let me click on the link then, and I'll get, yeah, here we go. Copy, and we'll put this, disregard that last link. Put this in here. And for those, you can just put in, this is cwp-csp.ca/2013. /11/ make the minimum wage a living wage. So, but you can just put in United Nations living wage. You'll dig it out. This is very important stuff. And very few people know about it. You know, some years back, I was told that I was the most knowledgeable guy in Canada regarding the United Nations. I hope the hell that isn't true. But when I got studying what's wrong in this country, it didn't take long to get me over to the United Nations. And I've studied it for a long, long time. So this thing of arguing about who the leader of a political party is going to be or what political party is going to lead your country is absolute smoke and mirrors. And people have to come to terms with that because that's just the way it is. So our nations are being taken down from the inside. As I say, this is the Third World War. It is well underway. It is a spiritual, psychological war, a war that we must win. And we will win if we just stand up. It's that simple. Quit looking for heroes. Look in the mirror. You're the hero. Okay? Every one of you is the hero. And just the way it is. So I guess we're just about out of time. For today, we'll be back on Thursday night, same place, same time. And let's see, today's the 6th. No, I still won't be out of Facebook jail. I don't get out until the 10th of February, and probably for an hour or so, and then be put back in it. So I want to thank UCY.TV, and I hear music, and we're out of here, so take care, everybody. Keep the sticks in place. War.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for